The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning, and I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and I want to thank Rick Thompson, the gentleman that was in before playing that great music. Thanks, Rick. I love that music. And thanks, Peg, for calling in with that Beatles song, and appreciated that, too. This morning, our Saratoga All-Star, who, well, she's made the team now for I don't know how many years. She's a great person, involved in thoroughbred racing, was the only one. Well, maybe not the only one that was on track during COVID. How she got there, I'll never know. But she did. She was working on the Oklahoma track side. And but anyway, Kim Weir. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Rick. It is great to be with you today.
Oh, it's always good to be with you too. Now, Kim is the director of Major Gifts and Planned Giving for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And you can go there and see what it's all about if you go to www.rfinc.org. Now, Kim, I had a question from a listener. Great young lady, and she has a grandchild that's interested in horses, and she'd love to come out and visit. Could you tell us how someone can get a hold of somebody and then come out and visit the farm?
Yes. Oh, I'd love that. That's a great way to kick things off, Rick.
And I'll tell you who she is so you can welcome her with open arms.
Oh, absolutely. Any friend of yours, you know I do that, and well, I'm so grateful. But it's actually a wonderful way to sort of start our chat about the summer, because one of the highlights for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation every summer since 2018 is that we bring a couple of our horses that live at the Wallkill Correctional Facility up to Saratoga, so that they can do exactly what your young guest asked about, which is to be met and greeted and petted and maybe fed a peppermint or two. So our horses, the two that are coming up from Wallkill, will arrive middle of June. I think they're coming about June 15th. They're going to reside. We do a lot of partnership, and we're doing an awful lot this summer. And this year, we're partnering with the Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga, which is a great aftercare organization right out Lake Ave. It's also where the police horses live, and we're going to have our horses.
Yeah, we'll get into that in more detail.
Yeah. So what we'll do this summer is that when someone like your guest wants to be in touch, I'm just going to give them my email address, because okay, that's the answer to the question.
It's, and then I can give it to her up at the school.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So it's kim@trfinc.org. Same as our website, just put Kim at the beginning. And we will happily arrange a visit to meet our retired racehorses. That's a great question.
Great. She'd love to bring her grandson up there.
And, wonderful.
And I think deep down, she really wants to.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so
they're good for everybody.
Yeah, they are. And I'm trying to get her to go to the races. But like a lot of people, they love the horses. And they love to see them run. But they're afraid what would happen if they get hurt.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like
that.
It's the toughest part probably of horse racing because the horses are very well taken care of. And now with the programs, with the after career programs that you offer racehorses, it's just a win-win for them. So you had mentioned about the Second Chance program, and you have some big news about that. So why don't you tell us? Oh, by the way, where is the horse farm?
Oh yeah,
I wanted to.
For our friend. It's Lake Ave Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. I don't know the street address, but it's straight out.
Straight out Lake Avenue.
Yeah, east on Lake Ave. Right. And then it's on the left.
Okay,
so it's just not far. Maybe two. Let's say 5 miles.
5 miles?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. I'm going to give her this information in case she can't write it down. All right. So the Second Chance program.
Yeah.
Tell us about
big news. I get to share big news, and I'll be sharing this big news all year long. But it is so fun to share it with you, Rick, and the audience of Talk Saratoga. So it does tie back to our history, which I won't ever be too long-winded. That's our program is
be
called
long-winded.
Yes, thank you, thank you, Rick. You and I both like that
That's
lane.
Right. Oh yeah.
So the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, our flagship program, is called the Second Chances Program, and in that program, we place our retired racehorses in correctional facilities all across the country where they serve as teachers, and they teach the men and the women and the juvenile men who care for them all kinds of lessons. So that is what we do. We can always chat more about that. We've been doing this for 40 years. Our 40th anniversary will be next year. So you just might get stuck with me every week next year because
That's
40
okay.
years is an amazing accomplishment. So
it
many,
is. It is.
So many donors.
And you're only 14. I don't understand.
Yes, I was not there.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
To be clear, I wasn't there that long.
Yes.
But so we've been doing this for a very long time. And the very first program was founded right here in our great state of New York. All New Yorkers should be proud of this program. But the big news is that this year, 2022, we will be opening our second chances program in the Empire State in Wyoming County, New York, which is out way west, heading towards Buffalo, in the town of Attica. Attica is a bit infamous in the correctional world.
It is.
Yes, we are horses, just to be clear, for all those who know about that chapter of correctional history, our horses will not be at Attica, but they will be right next door because
okay.
our programs are always in medium security and less. And so we will be, so we are currently putting in the fences, building the running sheds. We have our farm manager. Her name is Courtney. She was started in January. She's actually working with incarcerated individuals today, building the fences, getting ready for the horses. And they will be arriving as soon as September when the seeded fields come up. So we are so excited about this. I am, in fact, driving out to Attica tomorrow to lay eyes on this place myself for the first time.
We don't smoke, so I can't bring you cigarettes. So.
Yes. It is just really exciting. This will be our ninth of these programs across the country, but to bring it back to New York is just extremely exciting.
You know, I want you to explain a little bit more of what the Second Chance program is and what it does for the men and women who take care of the horses. Because horses are fantastic animals. And,
Well, I feel so fortunate that I live in a world where I get to witness this, you know, not quite daily, but pretty often because I travel around the country to visit our programs and to introduce ambassadors and donors to what I call the magic of horses and humans. So the program itself is generally, it works in this way. I'll tell you two things. First, the structure of it is that we as an organization, a charity that is focused entirely on horses and their sanctuary after their racing career, we raise the money to take care of every expense that horse will incur. It's food, it is the primary. Hay is our number one budget item. Grain, farrier, we take care of everything the horse needs. But our correctional partner provides the land, which is their land, it's corrections land, and we need a lot of it. They provide the instructor, who is the person like Courtney out in Attica, who's going to take care of those horses, and he or she will teach the inmates how to take care of the horses. And then the third thing the correctional partner provides, which is invaluable, is the labor of these individuals who are taking care of the horses and fixing the fences and cracking the water buckets when it freezes. So that's the model. But what the way it works is that individuals will go into this program, and it's very, very clear to both parties that this is a vocational training program. This is all about skills. This is all about education and brighter futures for individuals who are going to leave their prison setting and return to society and be our neighbors and our coworkers and our parents at school. So we want these folks to come out with skills that are going to make them successful in society. And that is what horses do better than any teacher I've ever seen. And I was a teacher and you work with schools. I love teachers. We all know that teachers are limited by our ability to reach that student.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where horses are just the most magical creatures because they can teach things that words don't teach. They teach patience to every single person across the world who takes care of horses. That is the first thing they will tell you that horses teach you is patience. They teach you empathy. They teach you to be aware of how your emotions are going to affect them. They're just mirrors of your, you know, dare I say your soul, but they're certainly mirrors of your emotions. So these things really change in powerful ways the men and the women and the young men who take care of them in ways that I get to witness regularly, and I get to talk about it any chance I get.
Well, I'm so interested in the fact that the horses teach these people a way to love and take care of something, and there's a bond.
Oh,
we
yes.
We talked about that before. There's a bond between horses and the inmates that take care of them, and a lot of them can learn how to function in society because of this opportunity to learn a vocation and end up loving it.
Yep. No, that's what happens. It's quite amazing. And there's the connection part that you catch, Rick, is really, really profound, because so many times these individuals have just had all kinds of terrible experiences in their lives that led them to where they are. And you don't make excuses, but you just recognize they haven't had a lot of opportunities. And the horse looks at them with no judgment whatsoever, only looks at how you are presenting at this moment today, right now, which is a very freeing, to be free to the labels of how everyone's always looked at you. And that starts to open their hearts to, maybe I can be a better person. This horse seems to think I could be a pretty good person. Sure. Maybe I can be a good person. I'm in touch with a number of graduates that have left the program. No, not all of them decide that horses are my passion. Horses are a hard way to live. Sure. It is But what we love is that they learn skills that if they want to pursue a job in the equine industry, they are fully qualified. And are often the trainers that visit our program say, my gosh, these guys and gals know much more than my entry level, just because they've been in a 6-month program of teaching. But even if they don't go into horse career, our goal is not to put people directly into horses if that's not what they want. But we want them to be someone you'd like to work with, someone who will show up every day, somebody who knows what it's like to be part of a team. And those are some of my favorite success stories, are the folks who've gone on to work, you know, in a factory, and they're successful and paying for their family. And
how to have patience, as you said. That's the number one thing. A horse can teach you patience. Mm-hmm. And if you ever were in the backstretch or over on the Oklahoma track side and watch the grooms, and it's just amazing how they treat the horses. And it's wonderful to see. And horses are such great animals, and they love peppermint candy.
They really do.
Tim Wilkins, the sports writer for the Times Union, the Albany Times Union, is probably one of the best writers, I think, of horse racing. And he goes over to the barns 5 o'clock in the morning when the horses are just starting to get around, and he feeds them peppermint candies, and he loves nuzzling up to them, and they'll do anything for a peppermint candy.
And it's really fun, because Tim's a great example of someone who does like to project a bit of a kind of crusty exterior. You know, he doesn't smile readily. He's not like you and me, who are the glad. But you get him around a horse, and he just turns into a butterball. He is a mushy, gushy love bug. And I'm sorry, Tim, if I embarrass you, but it is fun to watch how the horses get right to him.
Because he does that to me all the time.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's up at the top of the stairs. You know, I'm down at the bottom where I am. Yep. I always see this dollar bill floating down. And Tim's up there, you know. And I want it back. He says, I want it back. But, it's amazing. Now, how many horse farms do you have over the country?
Yeah. So we have a herd of 450 horses, and they live in 19 individual farms across the country, from California, New York, to Florida. We're in 9 states, and 9 seems to be the magic number. We also have 9 of these Second Chances programs. So we have farm... Each of those 19 farms have someone who I am incredibly grateful for, because that's the person who's every day, just like this morning, woke up and checked all the horses, made sure they were safe. And with 450, all of our horses are quite old. That's our specialty, is kind of the old and the broken. And, every day there's something new to look into, to take care of, and they love them so much.
I don't love that the horse passed away, but the oldest horse that you had in your fold was how old that passed away?
He was 35 years old when he crossed the Rainbow Bridge.
Tender, loving care, and that's fantastic. Now, is Courtney, will Courtney be up at the track?
She'll be up at the track this summer. You know I'll be trotting her up to your post,
Rick.
Yeah,
I know. You bring them all up to say hello.
Oh, yes.
And that's great.
Track is complete without a visit to Mr. Thompson's post. He makes everyone feel like an all-star.
I love it. Yeah, it's great. It's a great place. I'm trying to get a couple of the... Like Peg, I mean, I can understand her hesitancy about going to the races, but I'm trying to get her to come up just to maybe go to the paddock and see the horses, you know, get ready for the race. And because it Saratoga is special.
It really is.
You can get close to the horses. You can watch them walk down through the horse pad into the paddock and be right next to it.
Yeah.
And it's just a fan. And you don't get that in any other track.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And I would say that for you know, and I definitely empathize with Peg and those out there who have just mixed feelings and concerns. But one of my favorite things to do, and what I think is a wonderful way to kind of ease into it, is to go in the mornings when you can go sit in the grandstands and sit actually right by Rick's post. Bring your coffee, go to the Dunkin' Donuts on track. You pay for parking, but when you leave before 10 o'clock, they give you your money back. And you can just go and sit with the family in a box. Like, you can sit in some fancy person's box. It's totally fine. And you watch them doing their workouts. And it's exciting, but it's not scary. You don't have that. It's not a big, they're not going at their full speed mostly.
And they're not competing with another horse. They're working out basically.
It's so beautiful. The sun coming over that track in the morning is perhaps the most magical time. So that's
a funny thing. We talk about the morning workouts, and you can go early. I mean, you know, they start working them out very, very early in the morning. Well, when they built the 1863 club, of course, they put a copper roof on it. And when it was first up, the jockeys would, when the sun was coming up, the jockeys would come down the stretch, and that sun bounced off of the roof into their eyes. They couldn't even see where they were going, so they had to call the company in, and they had to grit it down a little bit so the sun didn't bounce off as much. But just, you know, you pay $1 million for a roof, and, you know, you have to get it dirty.
It was pretty sparkly for a while. That was kind of an unexpected problem.
So, you know, this program just amazes me, because I know a lot of people in correctional institutions don't have a focus, and when they get out, it's easy for them to fall back.
It is.
And get back into the correctional facility. Yeah. And I think having being taught patience from an animal, I mean, anyone that has a pet, you know, you don't call them a pet after you get them. They're part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of feelings for them. You want to make them happy, comfortable, have everything. And that's what these inmates do with the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing. Now, you also, the big move, you moved your offices?
We did. We moved our offices. We had always loved being right there on Lake Ave, and I loved being right around the corner from Mrs. London's. So it was kind of dangerous, actually. So that was a lovely spot. I used to walk from my house through Congress Park to the office, I just loved that. But we were upstairs and not really easily reachable. We didn't have much meeting space when people wanted to come see us. So our lease was up, and we decided it was time to make a move. It's all, you know, changes in the air.
Sure.
So we are in a wonderful new space where people can actually find us and visit us, and we love that. It's 112 Spring Street.
Okay.
So if folks know, it's the old, beautifully restored school building. Speaking of teaching and schools, it's right across from the Spring Street Deli and Little India, and
it's right on that corner.
It is such a beautiful building, and it's the intention of the building is to really bring nonprofits together. So it's actually where our mutual friend Lynn Trisna and Pitney Meadows Community Farm, they're in there. I think one of the Preservation Society is in there, and all kinds of cool organizations that we'll get to know because we share their building now.
You know, I'm very glad that you sent Lynn my way, because she's going to be a regular.
I love that. It makes me so happy.
Season.
Good.
And they always have, like you, they always have something going on for people to come, and even if you don't, you can go there anyway. And it's Pitney Meadows is at the end, well, across the street from the Y in Saratoga on West Ave, and it's a great place. And she was such a sweetheart. Matter of fact, we have a mutual friend. She didn't know we had a mutual friend, but a friend of mine is an engineer, retired from it used to be called the site in Milton.
Oh.
And they branched off, and he worked out in Niskayuna, I think, or somewhere. But he's doing the electrical planning for them, the engineering.
Oh,
so
good.
I said, gee, do you know Jim?
Yeah.
And She goes, oh, Mr. Electricity. So Jim happened to be over the house the other day. He fixed a lamp for my daughter. And I said, you're never going to guess. I said, I had Lynn from Pitney Meadows on. Lynn Trisnia? I said, yeah. I said, she referred to you as Mr. Electricity. And he says, you know what? That's great because you do these jobs and you don't hear any feedback, good or bad. And he said, so I'm glad she said that to you because, you know.
Oh, good.
Of course, I can talk anybody into knowing anybody.
Yes, you can. I mean, it's a gift. It's a gift you have,
gift the gab. Yeah, gift the gab. I know the girls up at the girls and guys up at Prospect, the school I am, they try to walk away, and I just keep on talking. And they really have a lot of work to do, and but they're very good. I love them all up there. Anyway, you have some upcoming events.
We do.
And the first one, I think, is today.
It is. I'm going straight from here. I got up and got all put together, sort of, as much as I do on a Saturday. So today, this is in the spirit of folks who love horses. We have an opportunity that the TRF is participating in a horse symposium and expo, which is right down the road in Ballston Spa. It's at the 4-H Training Center, which I've never been to, but I know where it is.
Lane Road.
Yeah, and so we'll have a table there. So if you'd like to meet me or learn more about the TRF, we'll be there all day. I have volunteers there right now. So in case they're listening, I'm grateful to Kate and to Lenore, who set up the table at 8 o'clock this morning. Anyway, there's a whole program of demonstrations and lectures, and people will have their horses there. And it's really just a gathering of horse people, and it's educational in nature. It's all put together by the Cornell Cooperative Extension Group, which is a great group.
Sure.
So we're just delighted to be a part of it. We're just there as part of one of the expo tables, and we're going to see a lot of friends, and spending the whole day there after I leave you this morning.
That's excellent. And for those who maybe don't know where Middle Lane Road is, the easiest way for me to tell people how to get there, because we have Sue Beebe from Cooperative Extension, and she's on, like Lynn will be, about 3 or 4 times a year. If you go through Ballston Spa, take a right on 67 and head west, you'll go about maybe a mile or two, and you'll come to a traffic light and take a right. That's Middle Lane Road, and it's just, I don't know, probably a third of a mile on the right-hand side, and Lounsbury Lane.
Okay.
You take a right on Lounsbury Lane, and Al Lounsbury was a good friend of my in-laws, and Peg and I, because she grew up with him and his family, and he was a 4-H agent. He traveled to all countries to try and help them get set up. So they named that after him.
Oh, that's wonderful. When I take that right today, I'll be thinking of your friend.
Yeah,
that's lovely.
And they may even have a picture of him up there. He was very well liked and a great, great person.
Oh.
He was also a Kiwanian.
So. Oh, good. Well, those are the best.
We do more than just what people think. we ring the bell for Salvation Army at Christmas time. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
And we're there with a Key Club member, a kid from high school, and I tell him, you know, the best way to get money, I said, is for me to sing a Christmas carol and people pay to stop me. And it works, believe me.
I bet I could do that same trick.
Yeah, really. So you're going to be at the 4-H Training Center on Middle Lane Road. And you'll have a table, so if you want, stop by, say hi to Kim, and learn a little bit about the Thoroughbred Retirement. And I do have to say that you told us how you take care of horses. Every step of the way, hay and vet bills and farriers, and it's all on donations.
It is.
Correct?
Entirely. We are entirely supported by private individuals and some foundations, and we are grateful for every single gift. There's every gift goes straight to these horses. They do sort of eat money for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh,
that is what they do.
Hey, don't make fun.
I know, but you know that they're grateful for it, and we're grateful for those who give us and support us with. I'd say the three things that anyone can offer to support us are their time, like our volunteers today, their treasure, which would be a gift in any manner, or their talent. And it's folks like Rick who are sharing his talent for letting me come on this show and share the word. Ambassadors are powerful resources too. So we welcome all into our herd. If you love horses, come join us and we'll find a way to put you to work.
And you can buy some hay.
Yes,
you can. Make a donation to
buy a bale of hay.
Buy a bale of hay or buy 2 or 3 bales of hay.
Yeah.
And, you know, any amount, even though it's small, any amount goes in and joints the bigger, small amounts and ends up being a nice size.
It does. So, a lot of our donors embrace that concept, and we have a thing called Sanctuary Guardians where folks just say, I want to do something that helps these horses for a long time, and they do like $10, and it's every month $10, you know, and it adds up to $120. But
sure.
Those kind of continual gifts, our bills are continual. Hay, feed, farrier, vet, these things were occurring every day. So we are just grateful. But we do love our volunteers, and we do love our ambassadors like Mr. Thompson.
I love to do it, and I love you. So this is easy for me to have you on. We also have another event on the 19th, which is
Thursday.
I'm trying to figure. Yesterday was the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
So Thursday.
Yep.
And why don't you tell us about that?
Well, we are excited. We do find that our herd, as we fondly call them, of volunteers, we have two things in common. We love horses and we love getting together.
Yeah.
So
and you love cocktails.
Yes. Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do love to talk about it. We've got a lot of horse racing we could all talk about right now just because we had this kind of spectacular derby a week or two
ago. Oh, yeah. And it's not running in the Preakness.
He's not running in the Preakness. Yep. He's going to save his powder for the Belmont.
Yeah.
So Thursday is our kickoff for the summer season. We gather the herd of volunteers pretty much every month all year long. But during the winter months, we do this via Zoom, and that enables all of our volunteers across the country to get together. But now that we're it feels like summer out there today, Rick, we're getting ready for a very busy summer. So many exciting events coming up that Thursday is just a meetup / happy hour, whatever you want to call it. We're just gathering at a really wonderful place. It's the Saratoga Winery, which is special to us because it's where we host our big summer fundraiser.
Sure.
And so we're excited to kind of get it together, be there. And it'll just be as simple as meet and greet, hear about the summer events. If you want to sign up to volunteer for something, if you just want to meet some of our crowd, very casual, no tickets or anything, just show up. We'll start there at 5 o'clock. And if you're in the neighborhood, come on by.
That's right. Now, that's located, the Saratoga Winery. If you go out Route 29 and head west, you don't go out of Saratoga that far. It's on the left-hand side, it's a great place. Matter of fact, didn't they do, chicken barbecue during COVID? It was a drive-through so that you could still make some money.
We did. They were wonderful partners because we, you know, that year was tough for everybody. But we did indeed keep our barbecue going. This will be the fourth year of the 2019. Yeah. The fourth year of the TRF barbecue at the barn. We had started it in 2019. It was incredibly successful. So 2020, they said, no, come on, let's see what we can do. And we made it a drive-through, but it was a little bit like the animal safari where you drive through, or the Christmas lights where you drive through and there's things all around you. So we had all the horses and you drove through and the kids could wave at them and
sure.
And then pick up barbecue on the way out. So yeah, it was fun.
I must admit, I went through and took one of the horses out for a spin, but that wasn't well
received. Everything's got
everything
a little crazy then.
The heck, yeah. If you're not catching all of this down, you could go to www.trfinc.org. They have a wonderful website, and you can look under upcoming events or whatever, and just all this is there. And, it's just a fantastic, fantastic outfit, the TRF. And people don't realize all that you do, Kim.
Well, I appreciate that you help us share that. You know, we are very proud to be a Saratoga impact sector nonprofit, but it is interesting that it's not a testament to our community. It's that we don't have horses here all year long. So things like today give us a really great chance to share what we are doing and to make sure folks know they can be involved. There's lots of ways to be involved.
That's great. And you encourage people to go out and visit.
And meet the horses.
And meet horses. Actually, they even shake hands on the man, but or shake paws, whatever. I lost my train of thought here, trying to be a wise guy. On June the 18th, you have the Equine Sanctuary in Saratoga at the.
At the Racing Museum.
Racing Museum.
And this is, as I said, a theme, I think, for this summer for us, and we're so grateful for this. It's going to be a lot of collaborating because together we can do more. We all know this in life in so many ways, but together we can do more than we can alone. And so this is a really fun first-time event that's coming together on June 18th before the crazy racing season is out of the starting gate.
Sure.
And it's really for our friends in Saratoga. It's exactly for everyone listening today. And what we're calling this is Celebrating Equine Sanctuary in Saratoga. It's kind of a long name, but I like the alliteration. And sanctuary is the word that we really love. It means that when we take a horse into our herd, he or she will be safe and cared for the rest of its life. They're not going anywhere. Sanctuary is the other side of aftercare. Many aftercare organizations, and we are so grateful to them, retrain and rehome and adopt out the horses because they want to go do something else. They really, really do. But if they can't, due to age or injury, they need a safe place, and that is what we do. But we are happily one of three sanctuary organizations in Saratoga. So in the spirit of things we want our Saratoga neighbors to know about is to be really proud of what a role this community plays in sanctuary. So there's the TRF. There is our beloved friends at Old Friends at Cabin Creek. And then there's this newer organization called Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga, which is where our horses will live this year. So the three of us are collaborating, and we are being hosted by our partners at the Racing Museum. And this will be all day, 9 to 5, on June 18th. And it's really, it's a celebration. It's a chance for people to come out, meet these three organizations, learn a little bit about what we all do that's the same, and the ways in which we're a little bit different. It's also, I think the police horses are coming. The movie, if you haven't seen the movie at the Racing Museum, will be playing all day, which is a remarkable love story to the thoroughbred. We'll have booths there, or we'll have volunteers there. It's going to be just a fun day to spend at the museum celebrating sanctuary in Saratoga.
Yeah, I'd be glad to come out and sing some songs.
Oh, good.
You know what? I can always break up a party or anything. I just start singing the room clear, so that's what they use.
Okay, at 5 o'clock on the June 18th, we'll bring you in.
Yeah, really.
Clear everybody out.
You know, though, as you said, Saratoga has so much. I mean, years ago, that's what Saratoga was known for. I mean, it was a small city, a very small city, but they lived for August for the races because there was only racing in August here. And then I don't know when it started, not too many years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, they went to 6 weeks and now they're up to the 8 weeks, but two dark days. So, but we're also home, as you said, to the National Racing Museum. And that's also a wonderful place to go to and peruse around the rooms, and you learn about the great racing horses of the past, and I think they even have interactive videos.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
And there's a great kids section. There's a life-size starting gate. You can stand in the starting gate and imagine what that's like for the horses, and really good children's programming. And they always have one special exhibit room, which is means it's always worth going back again, even if you have been. And this year, I think it'll open right around the opening of the race meet. The special exhibition is going to be on the contribution of the Hispanic community and Spanish-speaking population to racing, which is just profound. Without a huge swath of society, this racing wouldn't work. And so celebrating all of those sometimes uncelebrated heroes, it's going to be it's all bilingual. That whole exhibit will be in Spanish and English. Okay. And we're really excited about that.
Not Swedish?
Not Swedish.
I like to go and try and practice my Swedish. Anyway, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga. The phone number in the studio is 518-580-5783. Give us a call if you want to ask him any question about horses, and she'll direct you into the right way to go. And I just want to read again about the barbecue.
Yes.
It's our first one.
That's so exciting. And I love a chicken barbecue.
Saratoga Wilton Kiwanis Club is hosting our first annual chicken barbecue on Saturday, June 11th. It's a drive-through pickup from 12 noon to 3 p.m., and you have to purchase tickets. purchase tickets before. And it's at the F. Donald Myers Education Center parking lot, and that's the BOCES on 13 Henning Road in Saratoga Springs. $15 for a chicken dinner, which includes a roasted barbecue half chicken, potato salad, coleslaw, dinner roll, butter, and a chocolate chip cookie. It's prepared by local chefs in cooperation with the culinary arts student students of the F. Donald Myers Educational Center. And, you know, they have a terrific teacher out there who's a great chef. And these kids learn, a lot of them usually go right to the culinary school, and we got a great one in Schenectady, New York. And they go on to become really good chefs, and it's quite a program they have out there. So Celeste will be, the teacher will be heading that up, and we'll have kids there, Kiwanis members. And you can buy a ticket. You can send a check to Saratoga Wilton Kiwanis Club, K-I-W-A-N-I-S, P.O. Box 3372, or you can call me at my cell phone, 518-461-3943. And please do not make the check out to me. Make it out to the Saratoga Wilton Kiwanis Club, because I'll think that you're giving me a tip, and I don't want it. So the dinners must be prepaid by June 6th, Monday, June 6th. And since the 11th is the Belmont race, and if you're having a party, you can buy chicken dinners and
for everybody.
Go right at it.
Yeah, you know? I think that sounds great.
So the 19th, and we're celebrating on the 18th the Equine Sanctuary in Saratoga at the National Museum of Racing. And do you have anything else going on over the summer? I know you always have something going
on. Oh, we do, we do. And I would only say just before we leave the June 18th is that the Racing Museum has just posted that event on their Facebook page. So it's kind of a coming soon, but if you want to sort of follow and plan to go, tickets, you know, which will be very modest. I don't know how much they'll be, but they will be available very soon. And I think a press release is coming out about that event. So just look at the Racing Museum as our host. If you're interested in that event, go to their Facebook page.
Sure.
And that's a good spot. We will eventually have it on our page, too.
Yep.
But the summer, yes, I want to leave you wanting more, Rick, so that I can come back again in June. But I will say that it's going to be a wonderful summer. You know, there just is a sense in the air. It's really started from January, where we started having partners reach out and say, can we do this together? Can we do that together? What are you thinking? We're doing some things that we know and love, like our barbecue. And we're going to try to always make that a little bit better. But we also want to try to do things more collaboratively. So some of the things I'd leave you with today are to know that August 23rd will be our TRF barbecue at the barn. And we'd love for everyone to come, super family friendly at the beautiful winery. And then I'll let you know that when I come back next time, I'll tell you some other opportunities that
Excellent.
We can.
We've got about 24 minutes today, so there's a lot of things we can talk about. I just want to tell listeners out there that if you miss part of the show, there's two ways you can listen to
it. Good.
Forever. On our internet radio station, saratogabroadcasting.com, there'll be a podcast of the show up under Talk Saratoga, and you can go there and listen to any show that we've done in the past, or you can go to YouTube and type in Talk Saratoga. But beware. There's another podcast called Talking Saratoga.
Oh.
And it's nothing like Talk Saratoga. And some people thought that I had joined that group. And believe me, I have nothing to do with it. Matter of fact, you may have to scroll down a little bit to find Talk Saratoga. But we'll be doing something about that in the near future. So we won't be confused with them because, eek. You know, but anyway, community service opportunities to support the backstretch. And you have a Pine Grove Family Camp, which is, again, off of Route 29, and just outside of Saratoga. And it's a nice camp in the city.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't think that with how much property is today that there'd be a nice wooded area with camps.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, thank you, Rick. So this is sort of switching gears a little bit, but in the spirit of our community and all the ways to be involved and to help support something you love. For me, I love these horses, but I really realize that horses go nowhere without people to take care of them. So a lot of my personal volunteer time is invested in the work supporting the backstretch community, all those hardworking, wonderful individuals who take care of the horses when they come to Saratoga. So that that community has a number of organizations that support them, and one of them is the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy, and that's a great group. It's actually a national organization supporting backstretch communities across the country. And one of the many, many things they do, and it's a long list of things the chaplaincy does to provide support for that community, is to help them with housing, specifically housing for families. So couples who are married and couples who have children, they are not well suited. In fact, it's just not appropriate for them to live in the housing that's on the racetrack. There's a lot of housing on the racetrack.
Yeah, there is.
About 700 plus rooms.
You can't mix the males and the females. They have to be in separate.
They're separate dorms. And it's certainly just not a safe place for kids because there's these animals. You know, there's trucks and all kinds of things. It's just not the right place for a family to live. So the Pine Grove Community Camp that you described so well, it is like a little gem. I always say it's a little land that time forgot, because you pull in the driveway and you go back in history 70 years. That wonderful family camp, which is overseen by the Methodist Conference and the Pine Grove Community Church that's there on the corner, they offer the campground to the chaplaincy so that the chaplaincy can provide housing to these families. So it's, you know, kind of it's another collaboration. Mm-hmm. But those cabins, as you kind of indicated in your remarks, Rick, it's a lovely place, but it is sort of a place that time forgot. Not a lot happens there. So 10 months of the year, basically, these cabins just sit there. And then all of a sudden in July, 150 people roll into town with their families and everything they need to take care of themselves for a summer, and they just move in. And that's the way it's been for the last, say, 15 years. So what we're doing in terms of an opportunity for community engagement is we have, over the last couple years, reached out and found local Saratoga neighbors who might want to help us make that place a little bit more welcoming, a little bit more fresh, clean, and ready. So when these hardworking folks come up the road, they open the door and they feel like somebody cared and they feel like somebody wanted them to be here and made them feel welcome. And it's a pretty simple task, really. It's kind of a lot of sweeping and getting rid of cobwebs and maybe putting some fresh sheets on the bed. That's our goal, is to make these great folks feel welcome. So that is what's happening at Pine Grove Community Camp. I want to say with this moment a humongous thank you to the 25 groups of volunteers, so the 25 teams, you know, probably 100 people, who have stepped up and adopted the 25 cabins at the campground. We've accomplished that. Mission accomplished is we have folks who've said, yep, that's my cabin. I'm going to make it beautiful. And they're working probably as we speak. We've been busy, busy bees out there at the campground since the beginning of April. But there's still more to do because the campground is a bit rough.
Yeah, you have to clean up the brush.
There's leaves, a lot of leaves. There's a lot of brambles. There's just... like we all look at our front yard after the winter. So what we have is an opportunity now is we've set four different dates on the calendar starting in May on Wednesday and into June, where if families or key clubs or Kiwanis clubs or church groups, anyone who'd like to come out and maybe spend a couple hours, you know, 2 or 3 hours, rolling up their sleeves, bagging some leaves, we have the place for you to feel good about your community. So I do want to say that's a very warm welcome. There is, I have a little sign up form that I can send around. I would just probably say use my same email that I shared earlier because it's so easy, kim@trfinc.org. If you'd like to get involved in the campground, you don't have to make a long commitment. You can just say, I want to come out one morning, bag some leaves, and feel good about myself. Yeah. We could use your help. We do all of this between now and the beginning of July because, of course, the horses are arriving every day at this point. And by the beginning of July, the families will be ready to move in to the campground. So join us if you're interested. And I just want to say thank you. The number of folks who've come out and raised their hand and said, yes, I want to come out. I'm going to get my friends. I'm going to get my neighbors. It has really been a heartening example of how great our community is. Can't say that enough.
No, I know. And, you know, people don't see this. I mean, they go to the races and they see these beautiful thoroughbreds race and jockeys getting on the horse in the paddock. But behind the scenes, there are hundreds upon hundreds of backstretch workers that bathe the horses every day. They hot walk them, which is just walking them around. And Kim was a hot walker during COVID. And they do so much for to these horses in the mornings. And their mornings start probably, what, 4 o'clock
at least 4 o'clock, yep.
And, you know, they don't get paid very much. Not at all. And anything that someone can do to help out the backstretch workers, whether it be donate to the chaplaincy. I mean, you see these people with huge bags of bottles riding their bikes to Price Chopper after. Well, those nickels mean a world to them because probably 2 big bags is less than a day's pay for them. Mm. And they travel around with their trainers to different racetracks. It's a very hard life.
Yeah.
And, you know, anything you can do to help them out is a blessing.
Yeah.
It really is.
I describe their work as the most back-breaking and heartbreaking job that I can imagine, which is really everybody who works with horses. That is the truth. But they do that largely for the same reason that Rick and I love horses so much. They do this work because it is what they know and it is what they love. It's a labor of love, and it is a hard labor. So I do agree, as Rick says, there are so many opportunities to just lighten that load just a little bit. Many of the backstretch families are from other countries, and they work very, very hard, and then they send 90% of their dollars earned home, right, which is why there's a lot of opportunities to support them here, because they won't spend money on themselves. They want to support their families, and we'll do 3 jobs a summer while they're here in the Saratoga. That's why the campground is so important to me, because I know that it just gives them a comfortable place to be when they're going to work 20 hours a day for three months. We want to make that as welcoming and supported as possible.
3 months here, but they may not go down to Florida and out to California, wherever their trainer is based out of after Saratoga. And I tell you, I know I employed a person from Guatemala when I had my dry cleaner. And he used to send, he also worked in a factory job sewing tarps and stuff. And he used to send half of his paycheck down to Guatemala. Now, we don't think of it as a lot of money here, but down there, I mean, they can live like kings off of what, half a week's salary, a paycheck of his. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I don't know.
It's a discipline that many of us don't have.
Right. For sure. And I'm in awe when I park on the Oklahoma side and I walk through to see the activity that these people are doing with the horses. I mean, they're all over the place, hot walking, rubbing down a horse, giving them a bath. It's just, and then I think last year, Todd Pletcher even put in a whirlpool on track for the horses.
Yeah.
So they could go in. Now, I want to tell you, do you have a whirlpool?
I don't.
And no, I don't either. I mean, I put a little fan and a battery operated fan in the bathtub.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, you know, a few bubbles. What the heck?
It's like the beach.
You know, yeah, that's the beach, whatever. But no, I mean, it's, we always think the horses are mistreated, but in actuality, most of them are treated better than humans.
Yeah.
And they have care, and the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation is one of them for after career, that up until they die, that they're cared for just like a house pet. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they're loved and well taken care of. Now, there is a saying that you have, a motto, that why adopt a horse from the TRF that I love? And it's adopt one, save two.
Yes, yes.
Tell us a little bit about what that means.
Sure. No, I'm glad that you like our catchy phrase. I think it was my dear colleague Chelsea O'Reilly who coined that phrase. And by the way, I don't know that Chelsea's listening, but Chelsea has just welcomed her baby girl, Eleanor, to the world a couple weeks ago.
Oh, so fantastic. Congratulations.
We were thinking of Chelsea and Dan and Eleanor this morning.
Well, you can tell her to listen to the podcast.
I will. I will definitely home. Send it to her. Let her know she's little Eleanor's first appearance on radio. But that phrase does mean a lot to us because with the work that we do with Sanctuary, all the things we've just chatted about this morning, our horses are a special bunch. They are not they're not candidates to go be a polo pony or a show horse or a police horse. They may have actually already done those things before they come to us. But when they come to us, they're really going to be good at one thing, which is eating a lot of grass and looking you lovingly in the eyes when you bring them peppermints and a lot of other things. But they are what we lovingly call pasture ornaments. They look really good in a field. And so adoption is only for people who really understand that when you take adopt a horse from the TRF, we're going to kind of put you through the ringer in terms of your intentions with our horses to make sure that you are a good fit. We just need you to understand that they have limited capacity athletically. But if that is something that fits your model, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of folks who that does make sense for, especially someone who already has an older horse. Horses like to be with each other. They are herd animals. We're not kidding about that. So many times folks will say, well, I have an older horse and, you know, my other older horse maybe just passed away and my remaining guy is really lonely. So we are perfect. If you need a companion animal, and that's what we call our adoption, is adoption of companion animals. But the reason we use this little phrase of adopt one, save two, is that when one horse is adopted out of our herd and goes home to live with a new family who will spoil him or her, we have room in our herd to take another horse. So it is the way it works with us is that we keep a herd size of 450, and there's only two ways to leave the herd. One is just natural life expectancy, and the other is to have an adoption happen. And when that happens, it's like, you know, the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings, and every time a horse is adopted from our herd, another horse finds a home in ours. So we do love that, and that is actually our very specific intention with the Saratoga horses that your friend is going to come meet with me. She's up here. She's definitely coming, and I can't wait.
I would tell her every day.
Good.
I'm going to rip off the piece of paper I got. I'm going to put it on little cards and give one to
every
her
day.
Every single day. Until she comes. Oh, my gosh, Rick. Kim was right. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Well, we've had success with this adoption. Every summer, we've brought the horses up here. We bring different horses every summer, and we have successfully found homes for each of these horses through our adoption program, and then we have two more spaces in our herd when we go home in September. So thank you for pointing out that program, Rick.
Well, you know, one of the things we found out during COVID that we may not have thought about before is that humans are social beings.
That's for sure.
And we didn't have that during COVID. And it affected a lot of people, especially children, in a lot of different ways. Mm. If you were lucky enough to have a great wife like I do, and you have a great husband, I know, mm-hmm. At least you had that. And we had our two girls. But a lot of people couldn't do much.
Yeah.
I mean, and we found out that how social interaction means to us.
Yeah.
Even the ones that weren't that social.
Yeah.
So with horses being social and a companion of theirs passes away, it must be a profound loss.
Yeah.
I mean,
it really is. In fact, I just yesterday had lunch with my really good friend, another just superstar hero for the horses named Joanne Pepper, who I trust you know. Joanne runs the Old Friends Cabin Creek farm here, and she has 20 or so of these fabulous old aging thoroughbreds that she cares for every day. And she just lost one of hers. You know, we had our beloved Quick Call that lived to 35, and he's sort of our poster child. And hers was a fabulous horse named Zippy Chippy.
Oh.
And he lived a very long life. And I know he was into his 30s. I just saw him in April when they had the birthday party at Old Friends. But she just lost him. And, you know, she is still tearing up talking about him. That won't change. But the hardest thing she had to deal with right away was that Zippy had a pasture mate, Red. And Red was, you know, just shattered to lose his buddy. So she just gone through the process, letting him kind of mourn and adjust. And now he has a new friend. She's because that slogan works for her, too. When she lost Zippy, another horse has come out to Old Friends. So that's exciting. And it gives that new horse a chance to live out his life
and be social
and have his buddy.
Well, you know, I said this earlier about pets. When you have a dog or a cat and you have them for, it doesn't matter how long. They're not a pet anymore. They become part of your family. And I know if their master dies, mm-hmm. Whether it be the mother and father, you know, the husband or wife, they feel the loss.
Yeah.
And when they die, we feel the loss. Yeah. It's a family member that passes away. You would think that that wouldn't affect humans that much. They're just a pet. Yeah. They're just a dog. But you know what? They're not. They're part of the family. And it's tough. And I can imagine when you have a companion and passes away, there is a sense of loss for that animal.
Yeah.
And when he can reunite it, that's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a chain where we just keep finding a home for the next horse. There's still much work to be done. I would say that the world of, in particular, thoroughbred aftercare, we are collectively taking care of lots of these horses now, and we're going in the right direction. I like to say the wind is in our sails, but we are still not at our destination. You know, right. there's still horses that are in need. We always have a waiting list at the TRF, and we bring them in as soon as we can while still maintaining our financial responsibility to do it properly. There's always horses that are going to need us, and that's why we're so grateful to talk about it, because it's that next person who hears about our work that says, yep, that matters to me, and I want to be involved. That's how we keep going.
I mean, like I said before, even if it's a small donation, there's no donation that's too small.
Nope.
And, you know, if you love horses and you and donate whatever, $10, $20, that goes a long way to maybe buy some hay. And that's a profound cost to the organization. And, you know, every little bit helps. And I don't, you know, you said the wind is in your sails. I don't think you'll ever get to the end point because there's always going to be horses that'll come in that need the care.
Yeah.
And that means there's always going to be donations you have to go out for to take care of them. I mean, it's not going to be a magic treasure chest. I know there's probably horse people that do donate quite a bit.
Yes.
And a lot of times, most of them don't want to be recognized either.
Yes, that's true.
They do it for the love of horses. And, you know, it's just unreal. But 5 minutes to go, Kim. The hour goes by so fast.
It does. It does.
Why don't you sum up anything you'd like to sum up in the next 5 minutes?
Okay. Well, I would love to do that. Gosh, it's just a. I would say we are so grateful. I always want to start with that's what my wrap up is to say to everyone listening who is involved in any way, and that could be supporting us with a gift, that could be volunteering your time, like my great volunteer crew is doing today. It can be telling a friend about the racehorses. That is probably the most important thing. That's why Rick is such a hero for the horses, because I wake up every day with one goal, which is I want everyone to know about the work that is done by the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Our slogan is saving horses and changing lives, and it takes all of us to do that. So I would say with the things we talked about today, if you would like to come meet us, come out today to the 4-H in Ballston Spa, stop by or come by Saratoga Winery on Thursday and meet some of our volunteers. And then just visit our website, trfinc.org, and learn about all the things we're doing this summer across the country. And Rick, you know, I'd love to come back and talk more next time.
Anytime, you know that. You're on our podcast all the time with your nice picture. But anyway, yeah, and visit the farm. You're going to enjoy it and you'll learn a lot. Now, I just want to say before I turn it over that Wolfman Jack is my second favorite radio personality. I love his voice, and I'm going to download some clips and do something during my show at 7 to 8. But my favorite DJ is Homer Charbonneau.